just starting. Right. Chaos reigns again. I think we should have some live music saying, do you want to end it? We've just begun. And here comes the music. Because you've been waiting for that. And that's the end of the music. So, you know, you can tell this is a live show, but and it's going all haywire here. Look. And I was trying to edit out something from the end of that music, but now you're not going to hear any of it. I'll tell you what, I'll play it at the end because I know some of you desperately, desperately want to hear that music. And I desperately want to cue it up again, I can tell you. Right, we've been on the air about 35 seconds already, I have to say. That's why I like being live, you know, because it actually puts me on edge because I don't actually want to mess things up. But it's probably a bit like how David Luiz felt yesterday, getting introduced to the team after an injury. He wasn't expecting to play. But you expected to watch it, and watch it you did. And what were your views after that game, the Man City game?
Well, obviously not happy with the result. I think what upset me the most wasn't we didn't get the penalty that I think we possibly should have with Walker and the high boot. It wasn't the missed chances from Uber and Saka in the first half after they scored. I think what the biggest thing that really sort of got me was just how in the second half they played worse. Like they played all right in the first half, but in the second half they didn't seem as much energy, they didn't seem as much drive. I can't remember a shot on goal that we had in the second half. And yeah, there were a few things wrong. I think I was puzzled by Willian playing and almost as like a false nine. I could see why he did it. He wanted to, I'm assuming anyway, that he wanted it by Willian dropping back a little bit. He stops defensive midfielders, your Rodri's and so on, picking up the ball from deep. So I think that was the plan. I don't think it worked particularly well. I don't think Willian knew his position very well. I don't think he's played that position very much, or if ever. And if I was going to play that formation, I would probably put Aubameyang in the middle. So I think he was a bit, you know, Walker played well. Yeah, you know, Walker neutralised him. I don't think Aubameyang really looked particularly threatening at all. And so I think it would have been good to put Aubameyang in the middle. And I understand you put Aubameyang on the left when Lacazette plays, but Willian's a winger. And I'm sure Aubameyang could have played that false nine position probably better than Willian did. I thought Willian and Pepe, they didn't really seem to do much, which is a shame because obviously Pepe's played quite well when he's come on. And, you know, he does seem to be making strides in the right direction, but yeah, he didn't yesterday. Obviously, the goal, I'm disappointed with Bellerin being turned inside out like that as easily as it was. And for the second time now, Leno, when saving a shot, I understand he doesn't like to catch it, he wants to punch it, fine, but obviously the danger of punching is, you know, you don't keep hold of the ball. And now for two games now, against the two big teams that we've played, Liverpool and City, he has punched the ball back into a dangerous area for then an opposition player to score. And I think once you can possibly allow it, and you may even say against Liverpool, you know, he's slowly getting back his fingers. This is twice now. These are basic mistakes. He shouldn't be doing this. A world-class goalkeeper, or, you know, whatever he wants to be, shouldn't be doing that. So, and yeah, it's unforgivable doing it twice. So I was disappointed with that. Obviously, we didn't get the penalty. And I think, you know, towards the end of the second half, yeah, after we weathered the storm from City, after they scored, I think, you know, towards the end of the first half, we played quite well. We got our chances. We didn't take them. But, you know, we certainly went into the half-time thinking, OK, well, you know, 1-0 down, not over the moon by that, but we're still in it. And you would have thought that Arteta would have, you know, expressed to the players what he wanted them to do in the second half, you know, with the tactics and whatever else. And it just, nothing seemed to stick. You know, nothing seemed to sort of, they never really, you're not going to get a huge hold on the game against City. I think City played quite well, to be fair to them. I don't think Arsenal deserved to lose. I'm not sure if City deserved to win. I don't think Arsenal deserved to lose. But based on that second half performance, they didn't deserve anything from it. So I was disappointed by that. And then at the end, you know, me and you were chatting before about Partey and certainly me and some of my friends, we've been chatting, we're all looking forward to seeing him. I was confused as to why he didn't start, because it's not like he's not match fit. You know, I know he's only had a couple of training sessions, fine. But, you know, he's coming in from playing for Atletico Madrid. It's not like he's rusty or whatever. You know, he played for Ghana in the midweek. So he's yeah, fitness is fine. The only possible reason I can speak for it is that he hasn't sort of been completely engrossed with all of Arsenal's ideas and their style of play. He's still, you know, learning the ropes, and that's fine. And maybe City was a game too soon for him. Okay. But I didn't understand the logic in bringing him on with 8 minutes to go. You know, we had a poor second half. I was surprised. You know, Wenger always used to have a habit of bringing people on the 70th minute.
Yeah, that was his thing.
Yeah, Trent Park substitute.
I bet that's not in the book, by the way. A bit like Mourinho. Okay. I bet the 70th minute stuff's not in the book. I wonder if Arshavin's in the book as well. I wonder if he's sort of airbrushed him out, because all the things he doesn't like apparently are not in the book. You can't blame him, you know, it's his book. Anyway, maybe we'll talk about that later. But yeah, you were saying Partey, bringing him on 8 minutes remaining. Yeah, my personal view is I just thought he's giving him a taste of the action. He doesn't want to put too much pressure on him. And plus, the team have been playing pretty well. So perhaps the message is he has to earn a place in the team rather than just come in and oust somebody straight away. I just want to say hello to Harry, who's into the live studio. Welcome to the podcast, the podcast. Anyway, yeah, you were saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I agree. I think, you know, I'm not too sure about the pressure comment, because, yeah, for me, he's a big player. We've signed him. He's going to be a big part of that team. And, you know, we will be in similar games or more high pressure games than that in the future. But I take your point. And I think certainly he has to earn his place in the team completely. And I think Xhaka has, you know, really improved.
I thought he played pretty well. And, you know, I would actually. Yeah. Yeah, Xhaka.
I didn't understand the logic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just to give him a taste of the lack of atmosphere. You know, the lack of atmosphere, I don't know. It's just a theory. I'm not saying I subscribe to it. I'm not so sure I do. My tendency would be to play him from the start and then maybe take him off if he's getting tired. That would be probably my approach. But it's very hard for me to criticise Arteta at all at the moment. I'm sort of putting him up on a pedestal quite a lot, which is quite unusual for me. Because he's just been so good.
This result, I don't think people are going to change that. It's still a work in progress. And we are playing a better team than us. You know, City overall probably are a better team than us. I do feel like they're there for the taking a little bit. And I don't think this is their strongest. Yeah, they have Aguero. Yeah, we talked about Partey. Aguero hasn't played for 4 months and yet he played 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's the point.
You know, it was kind of strange from that regard. You know, your big games, you want your big players. And I know I agree with your point that, you know, Xhaka doesn't deserve to be dropped, or Ceballos doesn't deserve to be dropped. And that's a fair point, and probably one I would agree with.
Yeah.
But I think I didn't see the sense that we're only playing 8 minutes. And you know, it got mentioned again. I finally got my VPN sorted.
Yeah.
So I watched a bit of Arsenal Fan TV today. And, yeah, that record of not beating a top six team in, was it 29 games, I think it is now.
Wow.
And they had some graphic on Sky or BT, whoever checked the game yesterday. And it was about, you know, against the top six teams in the last 5 years, Arsenal away from home, I think away from home, have taken 4 points. And
shocking.
The Palace have taken 33.
That's hilarious.
Something along those lines. I not entirely sure 100% on the preciseness of that, but something that I tried. It was DT, but the only one I actually tolerate on Arsenal Fan TV was DT. He seems reasonably level-headed, and he's not a comedy figure, but he does seem to have quite intelligent points here and there. He seems to be quite, I think, the lesser motive than the majority of them, less of a comedy figure. So I think he referenced that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but that's what it is. And that record is hanging over us. And I don't think City is probably the team that we're going to be. But, you know, I was just disappointed in Arsenal. They seemed timid. They backed off City. And I think, you know, we've done well against the bigger teams when we got in their face. You know, we beat City at Wembley. We pressed, we got in their face. I didn't see that as much. I didn't see that as much intensity as possibly normal. And with Liverpool, you could understand why we sat back, because we had to sit back. You know, we discussed it before about the full-backs, you know, Trent and Robertson pushing our wingers back, so we can, you know, which prevented us from, you know, moving forward, leaving Lacazette on his own. I didn't see that happening as much yesterday. Yeah, with City. So, yeah, it was disappointing. I don't think everyone, the pitchforks aren't allowed for Arteta.
Yeah,
know, like
sure.
He's certainly got another season's grace in him. And, yeah, and we're gonna lose games as well. Like, we're not, I wouldn't say we're championship quality yet. So, of course, we're going to lose games. I think, yeah, the fact that it was only 1-0 when we were in the game until the very end, again, like with Liverpool, is a positive.
Mm.
And it has to be sort of, you know, if you think back to when Emery had taken Arsenal there last year, you know, and even when Arteta took us there last year, you know, first game after the lockdown, we got embarrassed, we were outclassed.
Yeah, so, true.
Of course, you can see the improvements. I think it was just the fact that City were, for me, not there for the taking, maybe, but certainly there to be got at. You know, they had no De Bruyne, no Aguero. You know, it's those two especially, Jesus. They're big players. So
Aguero played though, right? Didn't he?
Our confidence was high after a good transfer window. And,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't feel that disappointed. I know it sounds strange, but, and I was reading that a team like, or a club like Arsenal should never accept defeat, but I found that defeat more acceptable than most, I have to say, because I felt the team competed all the way through. I felt that the fair result would have been a draw, actually. And you're right, Leno made a mistake, and it turned into a goal. It wasn't just Leno's mistake. And in fact, it was a well-worked goal from City, and City were marginally better, I would say, of the two teams, but not by that much. And so it didn't seem like it was an impossible dream to get a result there, you know. But when I say a result, a draw, I don't think Arsenal did enough to win it. No way. But yeah, so I didn't feel as disappointed as I have done watching other Arsenal away games against the top six. When as you said, we've been completely outclassed. That wasn't the case yesterday. What I wanted to ask you about is, because I've seen a lot of people slamming Bellerin, and you said, yeah, he was slightly at fault, or a lot of fault, depends on your viewpoint, on, you know, for the goal. But do you think he's really not playing well? I mean, somebody even said Suarez should play ahead of him. I saw that on a website today.
No, I think, well, you know, big games are, yeah, they're the games that have the most sort of attention on them. Yeah, if we think back to, was it Sheffield United, when, you know, Bellerin assisted both of the goals.
Yeah.
Nobody was complaining about Bellerin then.
True.
Was he at fault for the goal? I think he was part of it. You're right, it was a well-worked goal. I was disappointed by how easily he got turned.
Mm.
You know, Foden's a young lad, and Foden, you know, don't get me wrong, he's a skillful player, of course. But I don't think he should be embarrassing Bellerin as much as it was.
Mm.
I personally think Leno's, they're both not, I mean, they're maybe not equally to blame, but they're certainly both to blame for the goal. Whether dropping Bellerin, I don't know. Like, he seems to, I've got the feeling, I thought he's got better. Yeah, he's slowly getting back to his old form. Obviously, it's difficult after such a long injury.
Yeah,
being as good as you were. Mm. And but Arteta seems to be happy with him. I think, you know, it's difficult because, yeah, when you make a mistake, just like with goalies, normally when you make a mistake, the other team scores. You know, so it's, you know, the limelight, if you will, is on you.
Mm.
So, and I wouldn't say, I don't know, maybe Suarez. I think we'll see a bit of a reshuffle for Rapid Vienna on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think, you know, I think that's obvious, isn't it? Mm. Really? You know, you don't need a crystal ball to work that one out. But I think, you know, I would imagine we will see, you know, possibly the new goalkeeper who's in front of us. We might see Suarez, we might see maybe Gabrielle will play because, you know, you want to get him as much game time as possible. But, you know, Kolasinac might play with some of the many centre-halves that we have. Might get a bit of a run out. Maybe Partey will get a bit more time, you know, so I think it'll be interesting. I think, you know, this game, I am disappointed, not just, I think just because I felt City were, you know, City haven't been starting well this year. You know, if you think how they struggled against Leeds, you know, they've only lost this year once, I think. I can't remember who to, but
yeah, they did.
Some terrible. I simply felt they were there to be gotten. So I think that's why I'm this moment. Because I think my expectations and my standards for Arsenal have increased, you know, which is nice. You know, like, it's not born out of delusion either, or like fans or bias. It's born out of, we have seen improvements. So maybe, maybe next year we'll break that record. I honestly think for me, the United game in a couple of weeks, like Leicester's a big game, of course.
And that's next.
More pressure on us because it's at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leicester are a good team, although I don't think they've started particularly well this year. But I think the United game has a huge, it's very big pressure for Arsenal and Manchester United.
I think
United, I know they got a good result yesterday against
Newcastle.
And I haven't watched the game, but supposedly they will over Newcastle. Newcastle sounded, absolutely.
But they did score their goals in the last minute, so it looks far worse than it.
Which is obviously a bit fortunate, but they were all over by the sound. So it was a deserved result, I think, as basically what I'm saying. But I don't think that game's huge because I think this record that's hanging over us, that video has to be broken. I think, Arteta's aware of it as well. I think Arteta was a player the last time he was against City as well.
Wow.
Cazorla and Giroud. Scored. That was the last time we beat a big 16 away from home. So, that record is, I think, will be looming over Arteta a little bit. And I think United, I think it's a perfect opportunity to break that record because they're absolutely dog shit as well. They are not, I know they got a good result yesterday, but they're not a good team.
I can see Arsenal getting the result.
The Spurs game highlighted that. But United are not a good team. That club is in, I would say, disarray, but it's certainly not. I much prefer being an Arsenal fan than a United fan. Let's just put it like that. Obviously, we've got the Leicester games to sort of think about first. We've got two Europa League games before we have to worry about Man United. But that's certainly on my periphery. I see that as a great opportunity to break this hoodoo and, start beating. Because I think we are a better team than Man United. So, but it's obviously we've got a few games before to sort of discuss whatever else.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I agree with you, actually, because to me, Man U are not the strongest of teams. I would expect Arsenal to get a result there, but as we know, football has a habit of kicking you in where it hurts most. And Leicester coming up, that's a harder one to call. I mean, looking ahead to that game, how are you feeling about that? How confident are you?
Well, after yesterday, I'll be a little bit less confident.
I think they're due to play today. I mean, I did look at the results, but I mean, I was only really focused on the Arsenal game. But I think, they've not started the season too badly. They're up there. I mean, but nobody's obviously doing as well as Everton so far. But I think with me personally, if I was for the lesser game, I personally think Arsenal will win it, and I think losing to Man City may give the team a bit of a jolt. Not saying they particularly needed it, but often after a disappointment comes something much better because people want to put things right. Yeah. So I think Arsenal will be at it. So a lot depends, I suppose, on... Well, Leicester, you've always got Vardy to watch out for. But this new centre-back, Gabriel, he may be able to snuff him out because he's not slow, is he, Gabriel? Do you think he'll be able to stop Vardy, Gabriel? Because he's good in the air, he's good on the ground.
Vardy does seem to always score against us, though, doesn't he?
That's true.
He's got a good record against us, so they're looking at the table now. They're fourth.
Yeah.
They play, third versus fourth. They play Villa.
Yeah.
This evening, I think it is. So
that's a local derby for them. So yeah, they could draw that.
For us, obviously.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a difficult game, but in a way, I'm glad that we're getting these games out of the way early doors. And I think we do need to get a result against Leicester, definitely.
Yeah.
If we could get 6 points, if we could get even 4 points out of the next two games, and that's respectable.
And so after Leicester, what's coming up? Because you're looking at the fixture list instead of that.
United.
Yeah. It's United away, right, after?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, I don't see 6 points as being out of the question. Of course, I'm being pretty optimistic, but I think it's possible. Depends how Partey settles in as well. Because,
yes, of course.
You know,
you have to think you're going to start playing soon.
You would think so.
After United, we've got Villa at home, which, you know, they're fourth in the league. Somehow this is a team that was 1 point off the drop.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that won't be the easiest of games. And then we play Leeds away.
That's tough.
The finishes are, and then at the end of November, we've got Wolves.
Well.
So, you know, some not easy games. The next four games are, you know, quite meaty games for Arsenal.
Yeah, that's very true. So, it's hard to see how they're going to pan out or imagine how they're going to pan out. All right. What was going to ask you? Something else about Pepe. Pepe, some people said he's, you know, gave him a bit of stick for his performance yesterday. Said that reading around all the different websites. I just want to say hello, Johnny G, who's entered the live studio, whatever that means. It's on the dashboard, so I thought I'd mention it. So I think Pepe's had a bit of criticism. As you know, I'm not one to criticise him. I always think he's got a trick up his sleeve. I thought when he took a free kick, do you remember that free kick? It wasn't quite as close as I thought when I was watching it, but the free kick he took, I liked the way that dipped down. I thought it was going in. When was that? In the first half against City? But I didn't think he was anonymous. Like some players have been getting some stick about not really being that involved in the game. As you mentioned, Willian, to me, wasn't involved enough, as involved as he should have been. Trying to think, and Auba was struggling really out on the left. It was just a bit weird from that perspective. I was a bit disappointed, I suppose, with certain players, but I still felt they were giving it their all. I thought they were all defending as a team really well. So I didn't really want to sort of single somebody out. And I'll tell you who really impressed me, and I think a lot of people, was Saka. The way Saka was performing was absolutely outstanding. Yes. And he had a shot. Oh, yeah, by far. I think all the websites, for once, agreed. This guy was man of the match. And that's rare, right? You don't often see him agreeing on something. But, a few players got a little bit of stick, but luckily it's not been anything major. So,
I think you have to give credit to City as well. I think the game really was a game won by the defences. I don't think either attack looked, it wasn't open, really. It wasn't really end-to-end. It was really solid, quite not boring, but certainly not particularly eventful. Definitely in the second half, not very eventful. So I think, if you were a defender, you would be quite proud how that, for either team. Aside from the goal, you would be quite happy how that game panned out. The defenders won that game, really. It wasn't,
sure.
It wasn't an attack game. I think that was just, and I think that has to, some of that credit has to go to Arteta for that, because I don't think you can say about Arsenal for a fair old while that Arsenal have defensively looked more solid and defensively been more sort of organised and structured. And I think that's a fair point. I think City as well, like we say about Aubameyang and, Willian, I think, got played out of position. So I think there's might be an excuse for
that. Yeah, mitigating factors.
Pepe, I think Pepe, like attacking players, they have off days. And I think City marshalled them pretty well. I think City knew what they were doing. They were organised, as you would expect with a Pep team. They knew what they were doing. And I think they did their jobs well. And then I think Arsenal defensively, we did our jobs quite well.
I thought so too, because it's really rare for me. especially when Arsenal keep playing the ball out of defence. And you know what? I think you've seen my reaction. I stop playing the ball out of defence and I get really wound up about it. But suddenly, I'm not as wound up as I was. I feel, yeah, we might concede possession, but probably we'll be able to get the ball back again afterwards. I have a more confidence the way this Arteta team does it. Under Emery, I used to scream at the TV screen because obviously haven't been near a game for a while. So just screaming at the TV, stop it, stop it. Just, I don't care where it goes, but don't give it to them in our third. That's a cardinal sin. And I always go on about that. But now they seem a little bit more self-assured. So yeah, they are still giving the ball away, but not to me as frequently.
It's going to happen when you do play out the back. But no, I agree that the improvements are from Arsenal with regards to that. I think that's partly down to Arteta basically being a better communicator of the ideas and a better sort of coach of his ideas than Emery was. You know, I think the players tried, and I think Emery tried to do it, but I just don't think he managed to get his message across particularly well. I don't think players knew what they were doing, and I think that ultimately that has to fall on Emery's head. But I agree. But when you do play off from the back, mistakes will happen. You know, if you think back to Liverpool when they played Villa, I know that was a bit of a freaky game, but within the first 2 minutes, their keeper, who's known Mark Allison, whoever the second keeper is, not the one with all the tattoos, he kicked up, he made a mistake, played a bad pass, and Villa scored, and from the very off, I think that set the tone for that game. But it does, you know, and this is Liverpool we're talking about, so of course mistakes are going to happen. As long as they're few and far between, you can kind of let it slide, really.
Yeah, true. Talking of letting it slide, Arsene Wenger, tenuous link. Arsene Wenger obviously has got his book out, and all of a sudden he's in the news quite a lot, not unexpectedly, because obviously he's talking about things that happened in the past and so on. And as I mentioned earlier, Mourinho's not in the book for obvious reasons. And although it seems like they're getting on a bit better, judging by something I read, they do actually talk.
I have to admit, I knew you could tell the relationship between the two of them was quite toxic at times.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But certainly, like with Ferguson, I think, you know, the relationship sort of, you know, calmed down. I think, as soon as Mourinho's still quite a controversial personality now.
Yeah.
But it was a case, as soon as, you know, he stopped seeing Arsenal as a threat, you know, it was a bit more sort of harmonious, but you know, it was a bit more sort of civil to each other. I was surprised by that, by Wenger admitting that. Maybe he didn't write something, he just didn't want it published because maybe he changed his mind afterwards, I don't know. But yeah, it's what's the point of writing an autobiography if you miss certain information? Like,
yeah, it doesn't. You know, doesn't.
If you're going to write a tell story, then you have to include everything. You know, and of course, people, even myself, would be interested to see what his comments are on Mourinho.
Same there.
How he feels about him now after a few years' reflection and away from it all.
And did you see the stuff about Fabregas, though? That, to me, was particularly interesting. And then Fabregas has come out and said, I think, countering what was coming out, that because I think Wenger released the news that Fabregas did, he confirmed that he did want to come back to Arsenal. But he said, I couldn't let this happen because he left as a young player, which I find really bizarre. And yet, then he said, but it was different with Thierry Henry and this player and this player and this player. They came back because they left when they were older. I just found that a really strange decision to make. So not let Cesc return to Arsenal when he would have definitely improved that team at that time. The midfield was crying out for Cesc Fabregas. And yet Wenger allowed him to go to Chelsea. And Cesc actually said, in what I was reading earlier in the week, he said, I contacted Arsenal directly and I left messages and no one got back to me. And I waited a whole week. And then after a week, I realized that they just didn't want me back. And Wenger's confirmed that, he didn't want him back. he didn't give any other reasons. I mean, there was talk at the time when Cesc left that he'd been sulking in training or maybe not even training at all. But these were just rumours, so I don't even know if they're true or not. But me personally, I would have brought him straight back because he's one of the best midfielders I've seen. But I mean, what would your take be on that? Do you think that Wenger did the right thing by allowing him to go to Chelsea? I know we're sort of going back over the past here, raking over the past. But
yeah, well, I think the rumours about him sulking, I think I've seen Le Grove reference that.
Yeah.
Mm. And from my understanding of it, Henry wanted to go to Barcelona in 2006, but Wenger said, no, please stay for one more year. We've just moved into the new stadium. We need you there for one more year. And just to see that sort of transition year. And I think Wenger was happy to let Henry go, because I think Wenger felt that Henry had lost that yard of pace.
Oh, I see.
And so he was going to have to start rebuilding anyway. And with that year, I think Adebayor joined in 2006. So he had 1 year with Henry, and I think Wenger was like almost happy to let Henry go, because he knew that he wanted to go to Barcelona. He knew he would be suited to the Spanish league. He did feel that he lost that yard of pace. So I think Wenger was more than happy to sort of let him go. With Fabregas, I think he felt that he left him in the lurch. You know, him and Nasri left in the same summer, and I think he was the captain, and I think Wenger was tired of the whole bullshit with Barcelona. Like, you remember when they won the World Cup, Puyol put a shirt on him. I assume the World Cup or the Euros, I can't remember which.
Yeah.
He put a Barcelona shirt on him, and I think Wenger was upset Barcelona's constant sort of harassment of the player. And Barcelona felt that we stole Fabregas
in the first place.
Player that joined at 8 years old or whatever. And they felt that we stole him because he was one of the three, alongside with Piqué and Messi, that was going to be like the future of Barcelona. And I think he was disappointed. And then Fabregas went to Barcelona and arguably didn't really set the world alight. For all that absolute horseshit that we had to suffer. Yeah, being an Arsenal fan was horrible. Yeah, Barcelona just went, we want him, you know, making all these overtures. And he didn't set the world alight at Barcelona, let's be fair. He was supposed to replace Xavi and Iniesta, but he didn't, did he? And so when I think, and as well, the other day, a lot of people held Fabregas in high regard. Don't get me wrong, I think he was a very good player. But he was a player that, he was at that team for years where we didn't win anything. You know, we consistently got top four.
FA Cup.
No, 2005. He left in 2005.
Sure, I think he found it last
night. Yeah, he won the FA Cup with us in 2005. Okay.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like a... That was a midfield.
And do you remember? Yeah, but you remember that midfield pairing, which I really liked, Flamini and Fabregas. And then Arsenal were top of the league, and then there was that game at Birmingham City where Gallus had a strop sat in the middle of the football pitch after the game. Because it was basically points thrown away. I think it was Clichy, actually. He was doing some crazy stuff at the back and gave the ball away, and then Birmingham equalised.
It was
just insane. Arsenal could have easily won the league that year, and they just threw it away.
But then if you think back after that, 2009, 2010, 2011, we were treading water. We weren't a championship-winning team.
No.
Top four at best. I think Wenger maybe felt let down by him. I think Wenger always had that sort of father figure approach, certainly in the latter years. And I think he genuinely felt like heartbroken. Well, maybe not heartbroken, it's a bit extreme. he said that Fabregas had let him down. And he forced his way out of the club. He was the captain, and he forced his way out of the club in very sort of, a controversial fashion.
So I suppose
I can understand why Wenger didn't want him back. And arguably as well, yes, I think he would have. When, what year was it that he wanted to come back? What year did he go to Chelsea? Was it 2014, 15?
Roundabout, I'm not even sure. But I just remember he was still.
They won the league, didn't they? They won the league.
He was there when they won the league. He made a big impact, I felt, at Chelsea. He didn't have many more years. I guess he had one spectacular year at Chelsea. I mean, that's how it looked to me in terms of stats. And maybe the following year was okay. Yeah, I mean, he was still a good player to have around. I just think he would have done even better had he gone to Arsenal, where, you know, he knows the ropes at Arsenal. Whereas at Chelsea, I know it's another London club, but it's not quite the same, is it? So I was upset that Wenger had the chance to bring him back, and it wouldn't have cost a fortune to bring him back, and he just turned his nose up. And to me, it's not classy to just ignore the guy as well, because Fabregas said it would have been much nicer had he just told me, sorry, Cesc, you can't come back for this reason or that reason. And then he said, and then I could have just moved on and got myself another club. But instead, I just sat there for a week waiting for them to contact me. And he said, and it wasn't just Wenger. He mentioned Wenger and I think somebody else, might have been Gazidis. I can't remember. But anyway, he mentioned a couple of people at Arsenal just did not get back to him. And I was so disappointed to hear that, although I must admit at the time I assumed that was the case, but I didn't want to be proven right on that one. I'd rather be wrong. I'd rather be, you know, there was some other reason why he didn't come back. And it's the reason I mention that as well is because I think last time we talked about the possibility of Jack Wilshere coming to Arsenal again on a free transfer, and I said it's not unprecedented. Somebody did it, and I realized after we shut down the live show, I realised it was Flamini. Because Flamini, if I'm not mistaken, went to Crystal Palace after going... Oh, he left Arsenal on a free. Didn't he go to AC Milan? I think that's where he went.
Yeah.
And then somehow or other, he ended up at Crystal Palace. And I think from there, I might have got this the wrong way around. But anyway, somehow or other, he ended up training at Arsenal just to stay fit. And then he was playing again. He didn't play many games, but he was back involved, and I was really pleased about that. And you see what I mean? So when I think about, oh, so it's okay for Flamini to come back, but not okay for Cesc to come back. I just found it really bizarre, because seeing as they were not the same age, I think Cesc is a little bit younger, but not so dissimilar in age, in ability, quite different. But I like Flamini a lot. I just thought, you know, when he came back, I was pleased when he came back. I liked him as a player. But yeah, these disappointments, I can't forget about them. It feels like they're all yesterday, all these players that, you know, ex-players that we could have brought back. And of course, when Omri came back, who was it he scored against? Do you remember when he played his first game back? Was it Leeds? He scored a really crucial goal. Yeah. And I think the cross was from Arshavin, if I'm not mistaken. So we didn't see much of Arshavin after that. Oh, was that Sunderland? Oh, yeah. Cross from the left wing.
So. The Leeds game, I think it was Son that might have played him in. Actually.
Oh, yeah.
For the Leeds, I can't remember, but yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, certainly, I do think it was how the players left. If you think, like, Flamini didn't leave in particularly bad circumstances, did he?
Well, it was a free transfer, though. It was a free transfer, yeah, so... I mean, at least with Cesc, the club got money.
I don't think it was about the money. I think it was more about
principles.
Fabregas engineered a move away from the club. Yeah, Flamini was entitled to leave. He was entitled not to sign a new contract. And so he let his contract run out and then left. Okay, that's fine. You know,
because Wenger's got this thing. He's got this thing as well, hasn't he, of being a master under my contract and... You know, even if they burn my house down, I will still come to work. He's got that kind of mentality. So maybe that's why. So I'm just trying to...
Yeah, I think it is. I really do think it's because of how Fabregas left Arsenal. That's why, and you're right, you know, he could have possibly said something to Fabregas and said, no, I don't want you.
Yeah.
And, I think that would be... I don't think that's completely unreasonable. But, yeah, I think the reason why... Fabregas wasn't allowed back, and it's supposed to be Van Persie as well. There's something about Van Persie, and I don't think Van Persie. He did speak to Robin Van Persie, and he did say, "Look, I don't think you know, we're not looking for what you offer right now. So I can kind of appreciate that, and he did at least speak to him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? But I think Fabio goes, yeah, it really is about how he left. And those rumours I believe to be true, that, you know, he sort of forced his move out of the club as captain as well.
Yeah, but Robin Van Persie was the same in a sense, you know, that he was up for leaving and he wasn't going to sign a new deal. And what did he have? A year left, was it? And so he basically, Arsenal felt they had to sell. I was more upset about Van Persie than I was Fabregas leaving, because at least Fabregas didn't go to a rival team. So to me, I can't see. I mean, I don't mind Robin Van Persie because he's a professional footballer. He should go to another club if that's what he wants to do. He's not there as a fan. We don't have a team of fans. We have a team of professionals. So they should go wherever they want to go within reason. Obviously, it's tough when they go to Spurs or somewhere. It's quite hard when they go to Manchester United, particularly as they are rivals. But yeah, him going to Barcelona, to me, I just thought, well, that's another world. I don't watch La Liga probably as much as I should, you know. So he was just disappearing to another world as far as I was concerned. And it was forgivable. Plus, he was an ex-Barcelona player. And, you know, he's from that area. He's a fan of Barca. So it all made sense to me. But, yeah, so not bringing him back was the only thing that didn't make sense. On that kind of note, with comments coming out from Wenger's book and Wenger's recent comments on players, he says, Ozil, it's a waste. And he believes that Arteta should try to integrate him back into the team. And I just want to hear your views on this. And he thinks he should integrate him back in the team. I'm paraphrasing Wenger quite a lot here. But he says, there is a way to bring him back. You know, you just need lots of players around him doing his work, basically. Well, what's your view on that? Would you bring him back? Yeah.
I think that's shocking too. He said because Ozil's so good, you have to have other players do his work. Arteta's come in and he's tried to foster like a team attitude. You know, that team morale was on the floor when he took over.
Yeah.
And Emery had lost the respect of the players partly because of how his treatment of Ozil. Like, he wanted to freeze him out and he let him back in. The whole five captain nonsense.
Oh, that was awful.
And I think that the players didn't respect him. And of course, I don't think he was very good at his job, evidenced by the results. But certainly, the players didn't know what they did. So Arteta comes in, and some of those things you can fix by being a better communicator. And, you know, obviously Arteta's learned, he's trained Pep. But to say that, well, okay, everyone can do it, we're all equal. It's kind of like Animal Farm, that we're all equal, but some are more equal than others.
Yeah.
If you're a player who's obviously not as skillful as Ozil, and there isn't a player in the team that is as skillful as Ozil,
true.
And you see him coasting, which is what happened, under Wenger, then of course you're not going to put the effort, as much effort in. You know, there's a great team unity. They're all, like you said earlier, they're all trying, they're all batting away. Yeah, okay, it didn't come off yesterday, but we could be disappointed in some of the performances, but certainly we can't be disappointed with the effort.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think. And Wenger's almost like, he said, well, that's what I would do. Well, you did that, and Ozil hasn't performed really consistently since he joined. So it's kind of like Wenger's almost got a selective memory where he's thinking, well, my solution with Ozil was to have all these players around him doing the work. Well, that didn't work.
Yeah.
When you did that at Arsenal, when you mollycoddled him, we got a player that bottle jobs is every time he played a tough team away from home, or every time he played a big team, the majority of the time Ozil didn't turn up.
Literally, a lot of time.
You know what I mean? So I don't know why Ben would say this. It's a really, really ridiculous thing to say. And I know he's promoting this, but it seems like a really stupid thing to say because it didn't work. Ozil, you talk about Fabregas, certainly, you have to judge, in my opinion, anyway, you have to judge players on how successful they are. So in terms of trophy one, Ozil won a couple of FA Cups, but we didn't win any leagues. We didn't do anything in Europe apart from get spanked 5-1 by Bayern Munich every year. So I wouldn't consider the tens, if you will, 2010 to 2020, a particularly successful decade for Arsenal.
No, not really.
Certainly compared to
Game, yeah. Especially one who doesn't produce. He's not really been producing. I mean, stats are not good anymore. They used to be, but those days are gone. I mean, that doesn't mean he can't have those days again. I mean, he could come back. He could, but it seems unlikely he's going to come back at Arsenal. I mean, nearly impossible. Obviously, that 25-man squad, the Europa League squad, he's not included in that. No surprises there. Arteta said, you know, it was a tough decision to leave a couple of players out. Socrates was left out as well. But he said, look, I have to make these decisions. It's not something I enjoyed doing, but I spoke to both players and explained. We don't know if they're going to be included in the Premier League squad. I'm guessing not. But, yeah, as you said, I mean, what? And if he's not going to play the way Arteta wants him to play, then there's no place for him in the team, in my book. I don't care how good he is. And, yes, we both agree, he is extremely talented, and some people could argue he had more talent in his locker than even Dennis Bergkamp. You could argue that possibly. It's a hard argument to win because obviously different eras, and I'm not too sure. I like both players from their skill, but from a skill perspective, but when I look and, you know, their technical ability is almost unsurpassed, both of them. But the difference is Bergkamp worked for the team. Bergkamp was a team player. Bergkamp had a steely side to him as well. And that's what he had to learn. Because I remember when he first arrived in the UK, he did struggle. He did struggle at Arsenal. And he was getting quite a lot of stick for his performances in the beginning. And I think he was a little bit soft when he first arrived. Just judging by the reports I was reading, really, because I couldn't really see it in the games I watched at the time. I couldn't tell, but people said he was a bit soft. But he toughened himself up. Whereas Ozil, to me, has never really toughened up. He's the same guy he was when he first arrived. And the other thing I want to say about Ozil, You know,
yeah, he wants Wenger wants yeah. people to do the tracking back for him.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think I could moan about it all day long. I think it just undoes all the good work that Arteta has done.
Yeah, definitely.
Over the last, you know, 10 months or whatever it is. I think, you know, and yeah, we talked about the squad. And Arteta inherited quite a bloated squad of, you know, let's be honest, below average or average players. There's a few more, yeah, obviously there's a few good players. But, you know, it's telling that nobody came in for Socrates, or, you know, Socrates couldn't leave, that, you know, Ozil couldn't leave, that Mustafi couldn't leave, that all these players, you know, these Wenger players or Emery players in the case of Socrates, you know, nobody wants them. You know, nobody wants Ozil. You know, when Doozy was last, you know, nobody wanted him. We offered him to those, but finally Hertha Berlin came in last minute. And it's telling.
Yes, yeah.
Bad transfer decisions over the last few years, and Wenger and Emery, are the reason for this situation that we're in, you know, this bloated squad where we have to say to two players who combined wages are nearly £500,000 a week that they can't make a 25-man team. You know, that's just poor club management, and these decisions are going back to bite us in the arse over years.
Mm.
And years of poor transfer decisions and poor club decisions. And, you know, Arteta has to live with this and sort of, you know, make the best of it. And, yeah, we said this before, next year, I think we will lose Socrates, Mustafi and Ozil because their contract finishes. And that's a huge amount of money off the wage bill.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, two less centre-halves out of nine that we have. And obviously Ozil. So, you know, it's going to take time, isn't it? I think it's going to take time to sort of get the squad that Arteta wants. But, you know, it took time with Klopp. It took time with Pep. Of course, it's going to take a bit of time.
With Mustafi, I won't be surprised if he signs a new deal. I won't be surprised if he leaves either. It's only, you know, if he gets a bit of game time between now and the end of the season, he has shown signs under Arteta until he got injured. He's shown a few signs that he could make a comeback, I feel. I mean,
yes, he has improved. The only reason why I wouldn't want that is because when Mustafi goes, I think we could buy someone better.
Oh, I see, like, yeah.
Do you see what I mean? I don't think he's going to get that much better that we're going to say, oh, this is a player that should be part of Gabriel. Yeah. You know, I think we could get someone better.
Yeah, I see your point.
So, yeah,
he's a funny one, Mustafi. As I think I've said before, you know, when he first came in, I thought this guy's dynamite, really, because Arsenal went on this unbeaten run with him in the team. As I think I said before, 17 odd games, possibly slightly more. Arsenal went undefeated. Maybe it was because of the fixture list. I'm not sure, but there were a lot of games that he was playing in where Arsenal were keeping clean sheets and winning games. And then suddenly it all fell apart, and I just don't quite know where that original Mustafi disappeared to. But I felt in the last few games I saw him play before he got injured, I just thought maybe this is the old Mustafi that I actually liked. And even the one that was a bit error prone, I always thought there is somebody inside there that's actually I mean, obviously all professional players are good players at some level or another, but some don't respond well to pressure, maybe. And maybe the lack of fans also help Mustafi, who knows, because he has, when you're getting stick off a crowd, it must be so hard for a player to perform unless they are extremely resilient. And obviously we know from discussing all these previous teams that Wenger in particular put together, resilience wasn't something you'd associate with them, apart from say the Invincibles and teams before that had that sort of iron backbone, as it were, you know, that you'd have players there that they could always lift themselves. But then, you know, after I think it was about the time, I think it was when Arteta actually joined as a player. I remember Man U scored 7, I think, just before. It was a game at Old Trafford, and Wenger took his team to Old Trafford and let in 7 goals. I think we discussed that game before. And then he brought in all those players like Mertesacker, who, you know, did add a lot. It was 1, sorry? Oh, was it 8? Oh, my God. I forgot. Yeah, see, so see, I'm cutting down the cutting down the goals year by year.
No, yeah. No, you're right. So sorry, apologies, because Lazari and Fabregas had left.
Oh.
He bought in Arteta. He bought in Santos.
Yeah, yeah. Santos. Park, of course, can't forget Park. well, we can forget Park, but you know, the new number nine, the cursed number nine shirt. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a brilliant Santos. I liked, even though he was always getting caught speeding. But I just thought he's actually. It wasn't because I didn't like him because of that. I just thought he was a decent player, but I think he was carrying a bit of weight. But he was quite quick. He was quite quick and very skillful.
Yeah.
And decent, yeah. Decent acquisition, I thought.
His weird stamp tackle.
Yeah. he was quite funny. So I'm trying to think. I feel like we forgot one player, but he said just before that, if I remember correctly, Arsene Wenger said, no, we are okay in the transfer market. We don't need anyone. And then suddenly Arsenal got smashed. And then he brought in all these players. I was so excited at that time, though. I just thought, wow, this is what being a fan's all about. Not to lose by seven, but bouncing back, you know. But the reason they bounced back was because they brought in players that had something more about them than not just skill, you know. Obviously, Mertesacker had, you know, he's still at the club now, isn't he? But he's got, there's something about him mentally, you just wouldn't want to mess with Mertesacker. It's not because he's a big, tall guy. He doesn't look particularly scary to me, but he seems like he's got an iron will. And the same with Arteta. He's a little guy, but again, you really wouldn't want to mess with Arteta, would you? You know, because, you know, he's not going to back down.
Furious, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's so in control, and those kind of people are successful in all walks of life, I feel. So I just felt that, yeah, the players that came in at that point, because I think just before that 7-2 game, I think it seemed to be that, you know, all these players were going to come up from the youth ranks. And didn't Alex Song play in that game? I mean, Alex Song got better and better, yeah. But at that time he was a bit ropey, yeah, I thought. Oh, yeah, Jenkins. The corporal. Yeah, I mean, he had a lot. He had a lot in his locker, actually, Jenkins. And I used to quite like him as a player, and I thought he did improve. And then once he started improving, then Arsenal offloaded him. I didn't quite understand that, but I thought he had a lot of shaky games. He was probably a bit too young to be playing in that game, a bit too young and too inexperienced. It was too much to ask for. But Wenger would do strange things. I mean, the selection that day. But again, it may be, as you said, the squad was weakened by you know, the departures, certainly Nasri, and I think, as you said, Fabregas. So it didn't seem like Arsenal went there with a very strong squad, but Wenger was talking them up like they could give United a game. And then, of course, they didn't manage to do that. Anyway, we're getting to the hour mark nearly. I can't believe it. I didn't realise we had so much to say. Totally unscripted, but
as always,
yeah, yeah, and you can tell, can't you? Because I'm sort of lining up sounds as I'm talking to you, going, is this pintless sound going to work this time? Right, I'm going to try and make it work, but we're only doing one question, all right? And then I've got to get another screen up with a question on, which so it's very challenging for me. So bear with me if I mess up or if I sound stressed, because I'm probably going to do both, sound stressed and mess up. Right, okay, so you suggested, didn't you, Alex? So I went through the pointless answers from the last show. Just bear in mind, it's not going to be a very long pintless this time, so I'll fill up the time by telling you the pintless answers last time. So the most obscure answer to the question, which player has scored 100 goals, or which players have scored 100 goals for Arsenal? There were three pintless or pointless answers: Joe Horn, Reg Lewis, and Jack Lambert. Heard of any of them? I can't say I have particularly. I should hang my head in shame. Yeah, I mean, because the others, David Jack, wasn't pintless, so we didn't have to drink any water with that one. But the thing is, with David Jack, I'd sort of heard of him. I think I mentioned a lot of the other names, so I won't go through those. Okay, so then this one's interesting. I didn't think you'd get this, but you had a slight chance. The 1969 League Cup team that faced Swindon Town and lost included a somebody that most people have forgotten, unfortunately. David Court was the number nine. And that was the only pointless answer. The rest of the team, household names. Of course, David Court has a job. I'm not sure exactly what his job is, but I heard he's still working at Arsenal. So sorry, David, if you're listening. It's just nobody remembered that you played in that awful game. So maybe that's not a bad thing. Anyway, this is one where there's loads of pointless answers because there's loads of pointless players playing for Spurs. But not all of these are players that I can't remember at all. So the pointless ones that got smashed by Arsenal with Liam Brady, that team, with Liam Brady's amazing goal on that day. In goal was a guy called Kendall. I can't think of his first name, not Howard Kendall. Somebody, Lacey, played at the back. Lee played at the back. Holmes, I don't remember him too well. And then, of course, how can we forget the name Pratt? Pratt was pointless, which that's a little surprising, actually, because I can't think of his first name, but he was a decent player, actually. 74, 75, who did Arsenal lose to? Lots of teams, actually. Lots of teams. And then you rightly, I think you said Coventry, didn't you? I forget who you said, but you were right.
Yes, I did, yes.
That was a really good guess. But it would have been better still if you said Luton Town. Can you believe that? Luton Town beat Arsenal. And this is even more incredible. So that was a pointless answer, Luton Town. And the other pointless answer, Carlisle United, in their only season in the top flight. So they beat Arsenal. That's shocking. I think, if I remember rightly, Carlisle beat Chelsea in the opening day of the season. So that actually brought a smile to my face. And now, for the players in and out in that very same season, the pointless answer going out was Brian Chambers. He came up from the youth ranks. I thought he was a decent player, but I'm not sure where he went to after Arsenal. And then coming in, I think I said to you, he was going to be the new Peter Marinelli because he came from the same club, Hibernian. It was Alex Cropley. So he wasn't cheap. I don't remember exactly how much he cost, not as much as Brian Kidd, who cost 110,000. Doesn't sound much, does it? £110,000 for a player scores as many goals as Brian Kidd did. But anyway, Alex Cropley, if I remember correctly, was spent most of the time in the sick bay being injured, but had a lot of talent and just wasn't able to fulfill it at Arsenal. Right, okay, I've got a question for you. And it concerns Arsenal managers since 1945. So let's have an Arsenal manager, the most obscure answer that you can think of. And then I'll give you, then I'll get to play the pintless music that makes us want to use the toilet very quickly. So lots to choose from. Well, actually, it's not that many because Arsenal don't get through managers as quickly as Spurs. So if we were doing this for Spurs, this would go on for quite a while. So you've only got a handful. Spurs, imagine if it were them. So we're looking for the most.
I've got a couple of answers. There's one quite a recent one.
Okay.
That's, you know, reasonably, but not particularly obscure, just because it's still 20 years ago. I'm not sure if this is a manager. I think it is, but I'm not sure. Did we have a manager called Tom Whittaker?
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good answer. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to run. Well, actually, it will go pa-ching, and I haven't got a sound that goes pa-ching, so or whatever it is. So I haven't got that sound effect. So I'll tell you now. It is a correct answer, but is it pointless as well? We shall have to wait and see because I'm trying to sort out the music. I shouldn't tell you this because you don't need to know. Yes, I'm sure. So let's see how long the pintless sound goes on for. So the longer it goes on for, the more we have to drink. Water, we're talking. Can you hear it? It's getting louder. Whoa. It's gone past the 87 mark. Wow, it's dropping all the way to 60. Wow. So 50 Arsenal fans, not even 50, knew about this manager. Wow. 30. Wow. Can your bladder take it? We're down to 15. He's going on. It sounds 8, 7, 6. Oh, six. So there you go. That was pretty pointless, wasn't it? But anyway, so yeah, that was a. So I'll reveal all next time. That's in terms of who the manager was, at least. I'm going to tell you all about that next time. Who were the pointless, or maybe there was only one actually, but one pointless answer. I'm trying to say something while I get a theme tune up because this just played.
I think that's definitely my best ever answer.
So. Yeah, how did you come up with that? Do you know your Arsenal history? I'm shocked.
I tell you what, somewhere stored in my memory, when I used to watch in the old stadium, they used to have in the museum, we used to sit in the North Bank, and they used to have a museum in the North Bank, and they used to have a video for like fans, like a little cinema room within the museum, and they used to play like the history of Arsenal.
Oh, I see.
So I have to do it, even though and I used to watch it. At least a good 4 or 5 times every season because I'd update it every year.
Yeah.
So like the first, you know, from 1886 until 1994 was always the same. But then every year they would normally update it with what's happened that last season. And it, obviously we didn't win anything, but yeah, when we did win something, it would sort of get included. And obviously George Graham and Wenger, you know, we did win trophies quite a few years ago, obviously regularly updated. And I used to watch that movie, it was only about a 15-minute movie, and I used to watch that movie about 4, 5, 6 times a season. And Tom Whittaker is a name that, it was in the early 50s, I believe, maybe 60s, I'm not sure, but definitely before Bertie Mee, who was 71.
Yeah.
So I was reasonably confident. My only worry was that he, I might have got the name wrong. But he might not have been a manager. He might have been like an ex. Because I believe he was an ex-player. I might be confused with someone else.
Yeah, I don't know an awful lot about him, I'll be honest. Even though, yeah, I look in the history books quite a lot. It's just that I don't tend to remember so much. Chapman's the only one, really, from way back that is a household name.
Henry Norris.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's just I'm not sure I'd remember those names. I mean, when you say them, I'll go, yeah, of course, yeah, I recognise the name. But they're not names that sort of trip off the tip of my tongue, as it were. So that's the reason why in a quiz situation, I'm pretty bad, actually. I remember once I went on some football quiz. It was so embarrassing. Everyone was laughing at me. They were going, how is it you're so useless in this? It's not that you don't know the stuff. I said, it's just when you're on TV, you feel a bit nervous as well. And when I tried to press the button, somebody else pressed it first. And then I thought, I knew that. There was, why did they get there first? I was so frustrated, you know. It was so pretty embarrassing. And I realized that some people, they just know, they know the history books inside out. And you just can't compete with that. You know, I couldn't at least. But yeah, that was a pretty amazing answer. So I think we'll leave it on that high note, shall we? And we'll say our goodbyes. So thanks a lot for joining us, Alex. I'm going to play out. Go ahead.
My article on your website.
Yes, go ahead.
Loosecannon.com.
.co.uk. I didn't spend the extra for the .com.
There you go. My first ever article as a blogger.
Wow.
So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's really good. I recommend it. I enjoyed proofreading it. It didn't need a lot of proofreading, actually. You'd be surprised. So,
I did my best. I did have a word processor to help out the spelling.
Well, it's a particularly good word processor, that's all I can say. But yeah, so we'll leave on that high note, and let's hope by the time we next speak, Arsenal will perhaps have won a couple of games, you know, a couple more games, like Rapid Vienna, and maybe after the Leicester game. That's on a Saturday. When is it? Or is it Sunday? The
Sunday.
Leicester game. Oh, okay. So we might have to have our next one on Tuesday, possibly. Or before the Leicester game. But anyway, we'll work something out. All right. So thank you for listening, all those out there. And I know there were at least a couple, okay, listening live. And if you didn't catch it live, obviously you can catch the recording. Right. I'm going to play out with the music and let's hope it doesn't sound too tinny. But until the next time, adios, amigos. Right, here we go. Thank you.